Sister Barbara, you didn't get done yesterday. You quit. And Lynn didn't get finished yesterday, but he just quit. Why don't you two take us to where you started yesterday? You wanna?
Oh, I'd love to.
Ladies first.
Okay.
I have, just about jumping out of my skin here. Again, you know, sometimes when I teach, I hear things for the first time when I'm saying it, so there's no telling what I'm gonna say. Some of it I've heard before, but I just feel this percolating inside of me. I was talking to Mike and Mark Friday and Saturday about a concept that I've been hearing. And when we talk about going into the storehouse or into a place of meditation, you see things into your intuitive mind and not necessarily your logical mind or your intellect. And a couple of years ago, I looked at the word influence. And when I looked at the word influence, I saw the word influenza. And so I started to study it. And Mark, would you come up and just 2 minutes really quick? I asked him to study the word, and he did it overnight. And he'll draw us a little bit of a map on the board. And what I've got is total maybe 15, 20 minutes, and I'd like to talk to Lynn and maybe Gary and Ray, and maybe we can have a little bit of a panel here again on some of the information that I want to talk about and whatever Lynn wants to.
Thank you. Well, she had asked me to look at some things. First of all, when I was walking out of my house, I did a study years ago on the chakras, and I was told immediately to pick it up, which that's a picture of Jesus and chakras, and I grabbed it, and I haven't picked it up in years. I have a friend of mine named Ryan Martin who is a surveyor, and when he surveys, he keeps up a lot with what goes on in the state of Arkansas. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, crops started growing completely in the state of Arkansas that no one planted. Because what he does is he comes in and clears out a whole bunch of stuff, and he builds new communities. So you got a bunch of city and new homes going up, and you've got the roots and everything going crazy because now all of a sudden stuff's growing. When they did a study on it, they found out that the forefathers had planted seeds, and that a certain angle of the moon had made these things begin to grow. So seeds of our forefathers and of the ancients are starting to grow. And he said the thing was, it was the angle of the light. And he said there's a lot of you who are angles of the light. You don't have the full revelation, but you've got a piece. And so she had asked me to look into this, and so I looked it up last night. And
Yeah,
the word influence. Now this is, I'm a footnote. You ever seen that in a book? I'm a footnote. I'm just a Barbara Simons footnote. But this is chicken scratch. Hillbilly, I'm from Arkansas. Don't be offended. The word influence in the 14th century meant to be influenced by the stars. It came originally from that. The French word means to be animated by the stars. In the 14th century, they took it into Latin compounds, and it meant for the star to flow into you. And then, by the somewhere around the 15th century, we have what was called influenza. Now, when you look at these two words, they were forms of a Latin word that comes to the same root. And so what happened was, is you had this thing going on, and it looks as if there was all of these things that were coming from astrology. So years ago, I looked up a scripture in the book of Revelation. It's the only time it's used in the New Testament, and it's the word wormwood. So I'm going to turn to the New American Standard. Revelation 8:11. I studied this years ago because I was studying chakras, and there was so much stuff that was going on the inside of me that didn't make any sense, and my astrologer just wasn't getting it. It says, verse 8:10, and the third angel sounded, and a great star fell in from heaven, burned like a torch, and it fell from the third of the rivers and the springs of waters. And the name in Greek is always nature. The nature of the star was called wormwood. Wormwood is from a Sanskrit word, and actually that Sanskrit word, if we derive our English word, virus, from it. When it says a third of the wormwood, many men died from the wars because they were made bitter, and a fourth angel sounded, and a third of the moon and a third of the stars become smitten, and a third of them were darkened. Do you remember her talking about that yesterday? Now, here's the thing. This word in Greek for wormwood comes back from a Greek word that means snake bitten. So now you have snake bitten, and you also have virus. In the 1960s, people began to smoke dope, do drugs. And what happened is they tapped into an energy they didn't understand. But you see, when gifts, freedom, and love came, they pushed it into the lower chakras. They didn't make it all about up here, they pushed it down here. So their misuse of a creativity created viruses. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures out of the Bible. In Deuteronomy 29, I'll read a couple of scriptures, and we'll get back to what, like I said, I'm just a footnote. Barbara's the one that received the revelation, so she's the one that can put it all together for you. That's passing the buck in Arkansas.
Mississippi, too.
All right. Good company. 29. Deuteronomy 29, it says in verse 29:17, moreover, you have seen their abominations and their idols of wood, stone, silver, gold, which they had smitten. Lest one a man or a woman or a tribe among you turn away from God into their idols. And so therefore a root of poisonous fruit and wormwood. Notice wormwood and poison are distinguished. What is that telling you? That when we turn to our own ideas of God, we turn our greatest hindrance for the next view of God is the view of God we have right now. Correct? The greatest critic of the new revival is the old revival. And so you have this wormwood, which is what? The incubation. You remember the man and the soul? Fertilizer, when it is in the improper environment, is a positive thing. You put it in a negative environment and it'll blow a town away.
Okay, Waco. Lordy.
Yeah, so there's things in soul that are constructive, just like there are things in the Old Testament because of the way their mindset was, that judgment was constructive. Guess what? So was wormwood. There's a scripture, and I'll turn it to the book of Amos, and then I'll conclude. Somebody says, why is he in such a hurry? Because I'm into the flow more than I am the information. Because when I say these things, all this is going off in you. And that's the purpose of why I'm here. I'm not here to redo your strongs, even though it will do that. Look at Amos. I need to turn to my index. I also grabbed a different Bible than I normally carry, and I have no idea why that it will be really different. Can you hold this and I'll look at it? See, this is what happens when you go to church. You get used to podiums and pulpits and all this, and then you get messed up. There it is. Chapter 5. The context of chapter 5 is whenever you are going about your own way, when you're turning to the idols or the images or the imaginations, then therefore God puts you in darkness and incubation. So the things that you need, you still are there to move you to the place above ground, below ground. So this is the text. Amos 5:6. Seek the Lord while you may live, lest he break forth in fire, O house of Joseph, and consume thee with none to quench it for Bethel. Who is Bethel? We are. You have turned justice into wormwood. In Hebrew, you have turned the mishpat, the redemptive justice of God, into wormwood. Have we not done that? Wormwood implies a curse. We've said God's cursing us because we have these false images of God. But it says, and cast righteousness into the earth. Listen to this verse in context. Who made the Pleiades and the Orion?
Star system.
Star system, astrology, and changes deep darkness into morning and darkens the day into night, who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out of the surface. The Lord is his name, who shall flash destruction. I like to translate more of reconstruction upon the strong and destruction upon the fortress. What this is saying is that when we turn to our own ways, when we caught into our own idolatry, when we caught into what we are creating, the viruses that we are creating, the star systems influence us and puts us into deep darkness, puts us in the incubation, and moves us. And so the very things that in one environment would be destructive, he's got his own personal thing that is constructing you and moving you. And we're now moving into a shift that all these viruses... In the book of the Mayan calendar, it says, when the white buffalo is seen, all secrets will be revealed. I called it New Age Buffet. How much stuff have we learned in the last few years? But now we're moving beyond this information and theory into a place that we can be incubated, and those very things that may be destructive to others is a part of our path, and it's moving us to new ground and new levels. So that's Greek and Hebrew chicken really scratch fun. For me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lynn, can I? Hello? You got to turn it off.
Can I erase this?
Yeah.
Right here? Okay, I want to. What I saw when I heard influence and influenza was that when we are below the ground, remember the seed yesterday? That when we are in our humanity, in our egoic state, that the influence that comes from the stars affects us in the form of influenza and viruses. But when we are above ground, it causes something completely different. Do you know that when you have influenza, it's in your DNA? Did you know that? That these cosmic influences that are incoming literally affect our DNA. And this is what I'm seeing too, and I hope you can appreciate this. Who are Pink Floyd fans? Anyone remember the cover of The Dark Side of the Moon? It shows a fractal of light coming in, like this. White light, but coming out in the seven colors of the chakras. And I'm saying to you in a very, not a very good way, is that there's influence coming from the stars, from our origin, from vibration, from light, from sound coming in and is having an effect on our body. And if we remain below the soil, we'll continue to reap what we've reaped here in our human form, in the form of sicknesses, disease, arthritis, diabetes, those kinds of things. But as humanity as a whole begins to break the plane of the earth, this is not necessarily individualistic, it's corporate. As we begin to break this plane, as the tide begins to pull, as the train of Christ begins to pull those that are in captivity upward, then the influence from the stars is going to have a different effect on us. It's going to change us in our DNA. Does that make any kind of sense at all?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to show you another little presentation here on frequency and sound. What's coming from these star systems is frequency and sound and light, and it does have an effect on our bodies and our consciousness. Can someone work the lights while I pull this up? This demonstration will just show you what effect sound waves has on very small grains of sand. Who knows what? Who understands what we're made up of? Sand inside of sand has found everything, stardust, gold, everything. But look at the effect that this has.
I'm a forensic artist, worked for the San Jose Police Department from 1995.
Has anyone ever heard of cymatics? That's immortality right there. And that's only what our ears can hear. Mm-hmm. What do y'all think about that?
Wow.
It's all over the internet. You can look at it.
Do your own research and see just the effect that sound has on the material universe. I just wanted to plant some seeds here today. Information is coming rapidly. If you leave behind the old ways of discerning through the knowledge of good and evil, if you come above the plane of the earth and you're going to be perceiving things from a heavenly perspective, there is light coming in from star systems. Lyle and I have been seeing stars outside of our home for months now that are pulsating light, reds, greens, blues. And you can see them with the naked eye. We've called the news organizations, and they're like, well, that's nice. But I'm drawn to them. And the first night that I saw one of these stars, I heard a voice tell me to go look out the back window. And it was midnight, and I went out and looked out the back window, and I was mesmerized by this beautiful star. Big, beautiful, red, green, blues, golds exploding from it. And you can see it with your naked eye. And so I'm saying that to say, I know that a lot of this might sound a little weird, but we are being influenced by the stars.
I believe that.
It is where we've come from, and they are communicating with us. Divine intelligence. Remember, our word for God. It limits us. Elohims, plural. There's so much that we don't know. And I don't want you to feel overwhelmed, because this stuff is not going to come from books. The information that's there, readily available to you, is really inside of you. And all you have to do is take time, ask the questions, and wait for the answers, because they'll come. Does this pique your interest at all?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna ask Lynn to come up and share what he has to share.
Barbara?
Sir?
They have took Sanskrit, Hebrew, and Greek and turned it into sound. The whole Sanskrit language can be turned into sound. That's the reason why in yoga you hear them pronouncing it. And they took those three languages and vibrated it like this, and it created images. They took the English language and what we have, and it created no vibrations. There's vibrations in them ancient languages. And the Sanskrit language is the only language that can be turned totally into sound.
Wow. Now, do you get the idea that we've been dumbing down even with our language, that our language limits us? I'm sure that I've said things up here today and that other people have said that has really probably ticked somebody off. Because the language pulls you back into a doctrine or a belief system that is against what I just said. So our words fight within our consciousness. That's why I think it's important that we begin to change the way that we speak. Change the way that we speak. Leave behind some of those things. What I can say the word save, I can say the word baptism in the Holy Spirit, I can say slain in the Spirit, I can say a lot of things that pull your mind to images. And the images might restrict or constrict the broader understanding. I think our Christianese keeps us below the plane of the earth because it ties us into doctrines that no longer serve the seed where it's going. So I just want to encourage you, change the way that you speak of it.
To just go along, I'm not trying to interrupt you to finish. She's referring to year before last at the conference there in Dalton. I wore a coat that was my grandfather. My grandfather was a farmer, and I so respected him. But he was Baptist to the bone, through and through. And so the things that I would share, he would think I was going to hell. But he was, my grandfather was probably my hero. He was my mentor. He was just a lot of things. And, you know, he was things that I thought I would probably never be, because he was just such a, he was such a statue and a pillar in the community. And I wore a jacket that was his. He's been dead now, I guess, at least 30 years at least. He died when he was almost 90 as a result from a tractor accident. He was still working. He still worked the fields. He still farmed. He was strong at 90. He worked, but he had a tractor. He actually had left the switch on the tractor, and he had pulled it in the tractor shed and got off the tractor with the switch on and got around in front of the tractor with the crank starter and hit it, and it cranked immediately and pushed him backwards and pinned him in the back of the tractor shed. And he stayed pinned there for 6 hours before they found him. And as a result of that, he later had a stroke, and then he had a heart attack and died just before his 90th birthday. I pass out those. This is our conference coming up May the 31st, June 1st, June the 2nd. And ironically, I thought about this, the conference, the first of the year. I need to start thinking about the conference with the speakers, da da da. And so I didn't mention to Ray and Avis who I would have or what. I didn't mention it to anybody. And last year we had 7 speakers, and the reason I did that was because we did the rainbow. That was our theme, the rainbow. And so because of 7 colors of the rainbow, the 7 chakras, the 7 energies, this little stick man. That was my purpose in doing it. But it was too much. Number one, it's too much was the finances was extreme on us, on me. Because I'm not going to have you come to my place and speak, and I'm not going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, period. It just ain't going to happen. If you're going to come, you're going to be blessed. So 7 speakers, that's $3,500, $4,000 right off the get-get. And it's hard to take a small group and pull that kind of money. And we don't try to do that. So we have to make a lot of plans and preparation before. But this year I thought I'm going to downsize it a little bit. I'm going to limit it to 4. And so I had asked Ray and Avis Barbara, Gary, Carol, and myself. And that doesn't mean that I excluded anybody. I hope that nobody feels that way, because there are other speakers that we've had in our conferences that I dearly love. Thank God for their ministries and what they're doing. And so everybody sees things the way they see them, and that's good. So that's the way it works. So this is our conference, and I'm inviting you folks to come. And it's amazing, this conference is the same way. That's what I was saying. That Ray and Avis put this together. I thought, wow, this is like, so we're going to do this again. That's awesome. We're going to do this again. And so take it to the next level. So this is going to be awesome. You never see or hear me do this. And I'm not doing this because I agree. I don't ever mention or advertise books. I have got hundreds of books. I have books, old books, ancient books, books that I got hid, don't let nobody know I got. But Alan Boyd Kuhn, I recommend him, and I recommend this book. It's called A Rebirth of Christianity. This book was written years ago. Alan Boyd Kuhn, he was a theologian. He was Dr. Alan Boyd Kuhn. Generally, you don't ever see him advertising his title, Dr. Alan Boyd Kuhn. Generally, just Alan Boyd Kuhn. But his writing, and this book, I recommend this book. It's called The Rebirth of Christianity. It was written, I'm not sure, but he died in 63. And so I'm going to say this book was probably written somewhere in the late 40s, maybe the early 50s. And he has a lot of different books that he's written. Some of them are hard to get. But this is just reading. This is just something to provoke you to think. And there's a lot of historical research in this book about what happened to us and why we have been stuck down here for 1700 years. Because we need to get free from down here. We need to press through. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to go ahead and sprout. And that jacket that I was referring to, that was my grandfather's, had seeds of corn in the pockets that were at least 30 to 50 years old. And I planted some of those seeds, and they grew.
Can you spell on the board the name of the pepper? I don't know how to pronounce it.
The name of the what?
Pythagoras. The person that wrote the paper? No, it's not that. The Alvin Boyd.
Alvin Boyd Kuhn?
No, Pythagoras. Yesterday.
Pythagoras. 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 P-A-T-H-E-R-G-O-U-S. Pythagoras. I'm not sure.
P-Y.
P-Y-T-H-A-O-R-U-S.
Thank you. And it's funny because I read about A-G-O-U-S.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's something to that effect.
That's fine. I was looking it up.
Pythagoras. To go to the school of Pythagoras, you had to master music.
And math. Yeah, that's right.
Plato and the writings of Plato, who is an actual historical figure, actually did live. History proves that he lived. His writings prove that he lived.
He was
counter to the story of the Jesus story, that there is no historical record ever that there was a Jesus. It don't exist, period. It's just not there. Now, I am not saying that Jesus wasn't real and Plato was. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that they were contemporary. And there's a lot of information about Plato. He was also from the school of Pythagoras. There's just so much. You can find a lot of that in this book right here. A lot of that. You can find this information. You can find out what happened at the Council of Nicaea. You can find out what was going on with the manipulation. You can also find out that Julia, who was Constantine's nephew, who took over after Constantine was finally killed. He was a very corrupt person. He was also the father of Christianity, and you may not recognize that. He was not a Christian. He was not. And yet he brought all the bishops together to organize the Nicene Creed. And what you have in your belief system is rooted in the Nicene Creed.
Yeah.
Just is. Because that's the Nicene Creed is a belief system. Prior to that, it was not based on a belief system. It was based on gnosis. Knowing, intuitiveness. The reason that a lot of the things that I will share with you, they are intuitive. I do read a lot. I don't get all this from nowhere. I do read a lot. But a lot of the stuff I get is intuitive. It comes from meditation. And so the things that that I share, you can find some in books, but a lot of it is just intuitive. It's things that for a lot of years, just meditation or different areas. It what I call, if you look at the Kabbalistic tree of life, there's 10 spheres in the Kabbalistic tree of life, and I can put those 10 spheres in this astrological sign, or I can put the 10 spheres in my stick man. And I generally do try to put the 10 spheres in my stick man because they correlate. They're there. They're the same thing. And there's one right here in the middle of the Kabbalistic tree of life that's called the Da'at that's not there. And the Hebrew word Da'at, it means divine intervention or divine knowledge. Or what was that word you used, Barbara?
Divine intrusion.
Intrusion. That's what Da'at is. It's divine intrusion. It's where God interrupts your world to show you something. You say, oh God! It went beyond you. It is beyond you. But God shared it with you. Psalms 19, you should memorize this. The heavens declare, the Hebrew word kafar. Kafar. The heavens declare. Elohim. Elohim, the seven spheres. And I want to just say this. Those are just signs. God is not limited to the seven spheres because all of the spheres are God.
Right.
All of them. The seven are common signs to project the information into us. And the heavens declare, kafar, that means they prophesy, they talk, and they tell. When Jesus was coming on the scene, the Magi's come. The Magi's were Egyptian astrologers. They were not Hebrew prophets.
Yeah.
They were Egyptian astrologers.
Right.
Anyway, Hebrew prophets were Egyptians.
Can you write that kafar, the way you got it?
Kafar.
It's hard to pronounce, but can you?
K-A-P-H-A-R.
K-A-P-H-A-R.
K or Q. You can interchange K and Q in the Hebrew. K. Kafar. Listen, the word kafar, this is a phenomenal word. It's kafar has to do with a divine intrusion. And you can hear it. When Barbara was talking about her and I looking at those stars, there's an energy coming from. That's the kafar. It's God's prophesying and God's singing to you so he can dance with you. And we don't know how to hear it. There is a song that's being sung right now. And we don't know how to hear it. The reason those things took different forms was because the sound transformed them. That's what's happening to us. God is singing to us. The heavens are kafar, they're talking. When it refers to the prophets of old in the New Testament, it's not talking about Abraham, Ezekiel, or Daniel. It's talking about the 12 planetary signs of the zodiac. They are the prophets that are pure and holy, not a man.
Yeah.
Man has his own carnality, his own physicality that we call corrupt. And you will not read of one prophet in the Old Testament who didn't have some issues. Well, I think you might read one. There was one. The rest of them got caught with their britches down. And generally they had it somewhere it didn't need to be had. But that's life.
Yeah.
That's just life. That's the heavens kafar. They're talking, they're telling, they're prophesying. What are they talking about? The glory of God. They're talking about the goodness of God. And we haven't heard. We're hearing it. We're hearing it. I mean, you know, I'm telling you right now, these guys are smoking dope. But Crosby, Stills, and Nash heard something. And they may have heard it from a little lady by the name of Joni Mitchell, but it was a big hit in my day. Deja Vu, it's on the album. We are stardust. We are golden. We are billion-year-old carbon. We have got to find our way back to the garden. Now, that, you know, that little song, and let me pass this around. If any of you guys are not on my monthly CD, if any of you are not and you'd like to be on it, if you would just put your address on here. I don't know if any of you would be interested in doing that. Just put your name and address on there, and we'll get you on our CD, monthly CD.
Brother, don't you think that some people need that to escape the ego and to get where they can hear, and it's just the drug or an escape?
I think that people need what they got.
Amen.
And that's because they are where they're at. And I wouldn't dare try to change them from being where they are. I'm just the pointer. I'm just pointing.
But we don't have to believe it. That is all. Whatever we have,
well,
that is all there is.
If you were listening to me, I'd tell you, just don't believe nothing. I would just say, don't believe anything at all. Just forget about believing anything. You say, well, that's a hard way to be. You can't be that way. Everybody said, somebody said, Brother William, you got to have some core beliefs. I said, no, I don't. I got some things that I really know, though. Not a whole lot of it. I got some things deep in my gut that I know. I really rely on that. I really trust that.
Whatever we know isn't all there is.
I really trust what's
but
in my gut.
More to know.
Can I read a few scriptures now? Our week I'd be out here at 12, and I'll try to be.
What you're saying is really not to interfere where they are.
No, I don't try to interfere with anybody.
That's what I'm saying. Is that what you're saying? It's like you have this knowledge, you have this, and wherever that other person is.
I think the greatest model we had, and I would highly recommend if. I believe Ray and Ava's copied it. I'd highly recommend you get Gary's teaching last night. Listen to it over and over and over and over.
Yes.
There's not a bone of condemnation in that man.
Right.
Zero. He loves people where they are.
Yes.
I think that's the greatest gift.
Yes.
How can I love somebody when they so antagonize me? Well, God put them there to antagonize me, to work on me, not me correctly. So difficult for us. Because I won't struggle with that. And my life has always been better. Because bless God, I'll beat the hell out of you. I'll work it out. That was how. You know, I was a hard taskmaster with my children. And I had to go back and go back and go back and apologize and ask them to forgive me. And my grandchildren taught me that. My grandchildren teach me. They're the greatest gift that God's given me. So they have just been phenomenal. They are phenomenal. They are. They are just, they don't do anything wrong.
Ben, I just want to say that the video in these meetings, and I will have them on the internet.
Yes.
Did I answer that question? I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to skirt that question.
No, I understood. I just wanted to hear.
See, religion has done such an injustice to us. It has taught us to be like its God. And its God is condemning, judgmental, critical, a murderer, whoremonger, and you know it. You know it is. Any kind of a tyrannical figure that will take something that it created and burn it forever and ever and ever and not ever allow it to get completely cooked is something wrong. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And generally what happens is people become like their God.
They sure do.
That's true.
See what? Okay. If you have a Bible, Luke chapter 2, and do we have to be out here?
I don't think so.
No, Steve said no. We don't.
So we do have. We can take a while to do this.
He just asked them when we were going to be done. He said probably as well.
And then I wanted to honor Barbara's idea. Did you want us to have a panel and just do some discussion?
I
want you to look at this with me and see if I can make it sweet and short and quick and
just
do it. Well, you may not care. Verse 30. Luke chapter 2, verse 30. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Everybody say salvation.
Salvation.
And what is probably the greatest? Well, you may not care. Luke chapter 2, verse 30. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Everybody say salvation.
Salvation.
And what is probably the greatest question that's asked among Christianity is, are you saved?
Yeah.
And I always now say, from what? To what? What? What does it mean? What am I talking about? What does it mean to be saved? And if you ask somebody, what does it mean to be saved? What they're going to tell you is, well, are you going to heaven? Well, how can I go to heaven if I'm already in heaven? Well, okay. So I'm saying that to say this, that maybe this word has more meaning and more depth than what they have taught us or told us. Salvation, the Greek word soterio, and to simplify it comes from the root sozo, and to simplify that just simply means to be whole or be healed. To be whole or to be healed. And I will just keep it on those two simple bases, to be whole or to be healed. So if I'm talking about salvation, I'm talking about your wholeness. Because if you walk in your dual nature, you're fragmented. Just in the very fact that you don't realize that you are one, that you and God are one, gives me the idea you're working in fraction. So you're not whole. So even though you prayed the prayer and they told you you're saved, you're not, because you haven't recognized, realized, and become aware through your knowing that God and I am one. And if you follow the message of Jesus, that's the message of Jesus. Don't you know that God and I are one? That's what made the Jews mad. Who do you think you are? A man saying that you're God? And his response, yeah, absolutely. Doesn't your own scripture tell you that? And, you know, I think it's kind of funny when I study the scripture and I see that, like in Psalms, when they talked about that, instead of saying Elohim was God there, they said he was a judge. Judges. So, mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all people. Not a chosen frozen, not a special and delicious group. All of them. Every one. It's a light. What is this? It's a light to lighten the nations. King James says Gentiles, it's referring to the nations, all the people of the world. And the glory of your people is Ra'el. And if you'll pay attention to that word, you'll always know that it's separated. Is and Ra and El. And then you go back in any kind of information or any kind of historical study and look at how those three words, Is, Ra'el, and you'll see them combining cuneiform, Egyptian, and Hebrew. Because that's what that word is. That word is a mixture of three different languages. Is, cuneiform, Ra, Egyptian, El, Hebrew. And you'll see the word El used a few times in the Old Testament, not many, but a few times, and it's the singular word for God. It just simply means power, unlimited power. And you have that, you walk in that. If you learn to walk in your unlimited power instead of the carnal force, force comes from carnality, always wants to push, manipulate, make something happen. If you ever catch yourself trying to push and make it happen, back off. That's your ego, that's your carnal man trying to accomplish something and give God the glory for it. We're really good at doing that. Really good at doing it. But when we get El involved, then we allow the power of God to do it. God does it itself. Himself. Herself. You like that? Herself. Because her is it and him at the same time. And her, it, him. This is really wild. Said, let's make man like us. Mankind. So, and then look at verse 38. And this word, you'll only find this word used twice in the Bible. And it's used here in Luke, and it's also used in the book of Hebrews. Verse 38. As she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption. And that's all of humanity. All of humanity looks for redemption. And the only reason they look for it is because innately it's in them. And redemption, lutero, the word in the Greek for redemption, actually means to be set free. And you see, we have been told, every one of you have been told about the fall. How that man fell. Man did fall, but it wasn't a fall. It was the descent of God from higher form to lower form. So it would be just exactly like a diver jumping purposefully out of an airplane and diving to the earth. Now he had a parachute, he knew what he was doing, and he knew that he was going to take this ride. And it was purposefully did. You can say he fell out of that airplane if you want to. He didn't. He dove out of that airplane. He purposefully leaped out of that airplane to experience. Everybody say experience. To experience the journey. God did the same thing. So God fell from higher planes into lower planes on purpose. For the very reason he designed the lower plane. That was so he could experience this. He could get into this dimension and see what this dimension is like. Yeah. There's not anything in this dimension that's working wrong. Even if it's a cancer. Because the cancer in itself, even though it will eat you alive if it can and kill you, it is something that within itself is alive. And when we can learn, and as we learn, because we are learning, we're waking up, we are learning to appreciate, and we are learning to give thanks for everything, for this is the will of God.
That's right.
So there's not anything. And you know, I remember 5 or 6 years ago when Barbara, how long has it been since 4 years?
Since I was there?
No. When your son had the accident?
2005.
Yes. So that's been 7 years ago? Whew, boy, time flies when you have a good... That can't be 7 years ago.
Good.
I remember Barbara sharing that at Gary's in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's been 6 years ago. Because he had only... It only happened a year or so after that. And I thought, how in the world could a woman, our son in here at the point of death, come up and say that God said you chose this. Now here she is arguing with God, I didn't choose this. But boy, that hit me. That hit me like a ton. I thought, whoa. That means I've chosen what's happening in this journey. That means that I have something to do in it. And that is so true. And when we can learn to do that, as we learn to do that, then we will begin to write a different script.
Yes.
Do you know why? Because you're going to see it. Say, I'm not sure I want to experience that. I might. I might not. So, you know, you're going to be able, and we will write our own script. I love this old stuff, this ancient stuff, and so I want to read you something. Listen. This is the Emerald Tablet. Listen, old man, while I tell you the secret. Alchemy comes from two words. Al, which means the, chemia, or chemio, which means secret. The mystery. God is really into mystery, magic. God's a magic man. God really performs all kinds of magic. And when you and I begin to really understand, knowing what God does with gold and iron, what God does with taking lead and iron and turning it into gold, hadn't got anything to do with materiality. It has everything to do with physicality and spirituality. It's taking your lower nature and raising it up to become the higher nature that you are, that you have. That's God's secret. And that's available for every one of us, always. So let me tell you the secret and reveal unto you the secret of old. Deep in the earth. Deep in the earth. This is the afar. The afar. This is the stardust. I know King James Rev translated dust. You know, it's like this. God said, oh man, look at that. Wow, I did a good job with that. Man, look at that. And then God just reached out among all of the glitter, all of the light, the photons, the light, and he pulled all of that together, and then he swung it to the earth and said, that's a human being. That's you. He made it all, reached about himself and of itself. And took all of those light particles and put them together, and you become that beaming light. Medical science today, they are beginning to tap into many of these secrets, and they know that when that semen penetrated, by the way, that egg is made up of 22 chromosomes. Chromosome. The word chromosome. That thing is made up of 22 chromosomes and one sex chromosome to give it 23 chromosomes. 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, not by accident, but by divine purpose and by divine intrusion with God himself as the monad, the zero, the all in all, to give it to number 23 to display and to show us all of the glory of God in his light symbolic number. That little egg, 22 chromosomes, and then that seed that penetrates that egg, 22 chromosomes, and then the other sex, give them a total of 46. Magic numbers. They're just everywhere. And if you read Pythagoras and the Pythagoras, you'll start to learn about these tremendous numbers. Deep in the earth, deep in the body, deep in the heart lies the flower, the source of the spirit that binds all in its form. Now, if I'm God, and I am, and I'm looking out right now at you, and I am, what I'm seeing now is I'm not seeing anymore a bud that's been there for oh so many years and so long. I am seeing a flower that's beginning to show its petals. It's beginning to open. The sun is beginning to show its strength and shine on you and me and cause. It does that. It causes us to open up and be what we have designed to be. Oh, he says, the source of the spirit that binds us all in its form. You know that you know that the earth is living in body, as thou art alive in your own form, the flower of life. is as thine own place of spirit, and streams through the earth as thine own flows through thy form, giving of life to the earth and its children, renewing the spirit from form unto form. I mean, these lines or sentences are filled with paragraphs. If you can get to hear them, if you can learn to start to hear what this is saying. This is the spirit that is form of your body, shaping and molding it into its form. Now you may all have this, the lost scriptures. These were the Nighttime of D books that were, Catholic Church tried to destroy all of these books, as well as the Alexandrian Library. Of course, if the Alexandrian Library had not been destroyed, then I wouldn't be here. I would be over there. I would be in that library lost. You just couldn't find me. And probably there's a lot of that stuff in the secret library in the Vatican, and they ain't gonna let them get in. They ain't gonna let you get there. That's why they extracted the stuff, and that's why everywhere they went, all you have to do is check it out. I slept through history, but somehow or another I retained some things. And I can remember that the 1,000 years of darkness. Do you remember that? The 1,000-year dark ages. What was that? That was where the Catholic Church went out the entire world, pillaging and destroying and mutilating and murdering and burning and crucifying and killing people. They said, you confess Jesus or you burn. Now I would say, they 1,000 years of that. Do you think that we are still not trying to shake ourselves loose from the influence of that kind of tyranny? Yes, we are. I mean, it still has its claw in us in ways that we don't recognize. But I tell you, that claw is turning loose.
Yeah.
It's turning loose. This was written in the early church, somewhere in the first, in the second century, early 100, 120, 140, somewhere in that. This is called the Secret Book of Thomas. And you do know that the Catholic Church wrestled a whole lot with putting the book of Revelation in the canon, and didn't even put it in until somewhere between 450, 500. Then they finally went ahead and canonized the book of Revelation. And the reason they did is they did not see the book of Revelation as a prophetic scripture. They knew the book of Revelation was Gnostic. They knew that it was all symbolic language as it introduces itself. That's exactly how it starts out. It says, John, write this and do this in signify or semenio, which means seal it in symbols. It's a symbolic book. It's an allegorical book. It's not a book about something that's going to happen out yonder in the future, about monsters and stuff going to take place. Everything that's in it is in the astrological signs in the heavens. So here's another secret book of John that didn't make it. And this one says, I am one who is with you always. I am the Father, and I am the Mother, and I am the Son. I am the unified. I am the incorruptible one. I am the undefiled one. Now I have come to teach you what is and what was and what will be, that you may know the things which are not revealed, and those which are revealed, and teach you concerning the unwavering race. I like this. The unwavering race. Will I die for this? Might as well. I will. It's that rich to me. I'm not going to waver on it. I really do apologize sometimes with my manner or my speech that I would offend people. But I'm not unwavering on this. It's fire in my bones. It's shut up in me. Unwavering race of the perfect man. That's what this conference is about, the perfect man. The pattern of the perfect man is already there. When you and I begin to recognize it, you don't have to get one of those things Mike's got where I can just point it up there and say, oh, look at that. I got to get one of those. The unwavering race of the perfect man. You know, the Catholic Church did not want you to know that you were a perfect man. They did not want you to know that you were God manifested in the flesh. If you this got out and you got to know that, then you're not going to go down there to their church every Sunday morning and bring all of your money, bring it all down here, bring everything, bring the deed to your property, and we'll take care of it. But they did. We did. They didn't want you to know about the unwavering grace of the perfect man. But now therefore, lift up your face, that you may receive the things that I teach you today, and may tell them to your fellow spirits who are from the unwavering race of the perfect man. Now, if you listen to that, you realize they were not only talking to the perfect man, they weren't writing to, not only to the perfect man, they knew that you were perfect. They knew that you were conceived, that you were born, that you were shapen in the image and in the likeness of God. But they also knew that the heavens, the astrological signs, give you the blueprint and the picture of the perfect man from which you came. And that's exactly what he says. He said that the things that I will teach you today and may tell you of your fellow spirits who are from the unwavering race of the perfect man. He was referring to those of us who come down from the stars, which he's referring to all of us. He's referring to every one of us. Oh, well. Here we go. I had my colored things here. I wanted to put something on the board, and then I'll try to quit and wind down the cross. And that's the cardinal cross. Y'all have heard of that? The cardinal cross? Cardor. Cardor, you know what it means? Opening. The cardinal cross is about openings, portals. This one is always referred to as March the 21st. This one's always June the 21st. This one's always September the 21st. This one's always December the 21st. This is all based on Northern Hemisphere. Every astrological chart you'll find is based on Northern Hemisphere and the sine wave of how the sun takes its journey through the equinox, the equal point, and it does that every year. And the way it does it, you'll see it as a sine wave. It goes like this, the sun in its journey. It just does that constantly. And so if I took that and I did something a little different with it, I'd do this. It's the same thing. Because if it goes, this is summer. This is winter. This is hot. This is cold. This is good. This is evil. This is Adam. This is Eve. This is up. This is down. This is right. This is wrong. It just goes on and on and on. And every one of them, their corollaries are there. And the sun is constantly telling you that. It's constantly showing you that. It all hinges on the cardinal cross. And when Jesus said, take up your cross, as Avis showed you, your cross fits in there. Not one of you don't have your cross. And when you bear your cross and you learn that you have to bear your cross, that's the energy. That, you see, when you were in the cooker, when you were in the womb, when you were being, what was happening in there, God was doing it. Your mama wasn't. Your mama provided the tomb for it to take place. That's the lowly stable. That's the cave in which you were born. You were born in a cave, in a tomb. And in that cave and in that tomb, the architect, who is the developer and the finisher of you, begin to build you and form you, and it gives you a beautiful picture of this in Psalms 139. And it also says that in that place of the tomb or the womb, God knit you, God sewed you together as if He was embroidering a beautiful cloth.
And that embroidery of beautiful cloth was the combining of the seven colors of the rainbow, which are the infinite colors that make up everything that is. It is God as He begins to form Himself in you. But He did it in 9 months instead of 12. And you know what He said? He said, now, I'm going to push you out of the garden, and you have work to do. And in your work, as you journey through here, you have three more things to complete. So that your circle is whole. So that you become a whole man. And you see, as we begin to learn these very simple yet profound and complex truths, we begin to walk as we were designed to walk. Up here. Up here in the heavens. We were not designed to stay down here and just rot. Over and over. We were designed to raise up, to stand up. It's like Paul said, I've called you up into the heavens to soar in heavenly places. To walk above the principalities, the powers. To walk above the rulers that try to keep you in darkness, that try to keep you down in the lower frequencies, in the lower energies.
Yeah.
So this is happening now, and this is a beautiful time to have this, because we are right now, as we're coming out of this period of time, this would be April the 21st. And you can, even though most of the charts don't go exactly on the 21st, some of them will be the 20th and some of them will be the 22nd. You can keep them on the 21st as you come around, and it makes it really simple, and you're within the caliber. So each one of these moves in 30 degree increments. And it's important that you understand that they all move in 30-degree increments. And what's happening with them in their 30-degree increments. It's like right here, on December the 21st, this happens every year, the sun dies. And what that just simply means, that there's not a period of time in the year in which the sun is not either lengthening the day or shortening the day. It don't happen. Every day of the year, the sun is either lengthening or shortening. It's either waxing or waning. Except for December the 21st, and on December the 21st, for 3 days in this period of time. 1, 2, 3. For 3 days in this period of time, the sun dies. And it doesn't die as you think that. It ceases to move. When you cease to move, they usually say, he's dead. They look at you really close. They say, I don't see him breathing. He might be dead. And that's exactly what the astrologers do. That's exactly what the prophets do. They look at the sun and they say, it ain't moving. Day's not getting longer. Day's not getting shorter. What's happening here, y'all? He's dead. He's in the tomb. And lo and behold, on December the 25th, the same day that my wife is born, the sun begins its climb. It begins to take its journey, and this journey is a slow journey that takes it to this point right here on March the 21st, which is Nisan, or Aviv in Hebrew, which is the first day. And it tells you that in your Hebrew Bible, if you go back and read. And they said, this is the first day of the year. And this was the first day of the year in the European calendar on March the 25th, up until the Gregorian calendar began to take over and rule, and that was New Year's Day. Why? Because they all knew. They all understood this chart. They all understood the flow of the energy of God and what it was doing. I mean, some of the Seventh-day Adventists really are strong on this. The way that the Catholic Church manipulated the calendar. And by the way, I know y'all don't know this, but you should. The calendar date that we have today, that we're using today, what day is it? I forgot. Today is the 21st. Okay, wow, we're crossing over. We're moving into Taurus. Okay, April the 21st, 2013. Do you know that the date 2013 does not go back to Jesus' birthday?
Right.
It goes back to Julius Caesar. The JC on the calendar that we are going by now is the Julian Caesar calendar.
It ain't the Jesus Christ count. That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a historical, literal fact. And you look at the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 are total discrepancies on the birth of Jesus. One of them has Jesus born 14 years prior to the other day. But I'm not pointing the discrepancy out. I'm not picking on it. Because I see purposes in it. I see designs in it. And I see how that many of those designs will fit where they're supposed to fit. So that they have a message in it. They have something to say. So I'm going to... I'm just going to kind of quit here. Maybe I'll pick up on this in our conference because... there's so much that I wanted to say. Let me just read you two scriptures, and I'll quit on that. Can I do that? Just two scriptures. I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah,
12, right?
Can I read
12?
You two scriptures?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question after?
Yeah, you can do that. Okay. Can I read you two scriptures?
Read us two scriptures. Three or four if you want to.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed Yitzhar, man of the dust, afar, and of the ground, Adama. The Hebrew, Adama, is translated for ground, and the word Eretz is translated for ground. And they argue over it. They try to say, well, is it the Adama? Is it the Aretz? It's sad that we hadn't recognized these, not only the manipulations of these words and how the usage and what the usage, but you can hear, I mean, you don't have to be sharp to see, you can hear a difference, can't you? Adama, that sounds like something, doesn't it? It kind of sounds like a dom. Mm-hmm. Aretz, does that sound anything like a dom or Adama? No, it's something different. Aretz, what is it talking about? It's talking about the... It's talking about the dirt. It's talking about the earth. Could be a field that you plow. Could be a continent that you live on. It could be the whole globe. But the Oretz is generally referring to the whole globe. But not the Adama. The Adama ain't got nothing to do with it. You know, if you can ever learn how precious that you and I were, we're precious substance. Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became. Notice this. Here's what's happening. Physicality is beginning to take place. And let me drop you some information about Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Genesis 1, 2, and 3 is a picture of the embryo as it's beginning to grow and form in the womb. Genesis 1 up to the fourth verse of Genesis chapter 2 is about the seven endocrine glands. The seven functions of life that make a human being. Genesis chapter 2 is how that those seven functions are beginning to grow in the tomb or the womb of its mom. Genesis chapter 3 is where those functions begin to take on key attributes. Genesis chapter 4 is where that thing is coughed out through birth pains and begins to take on physicality. Genesis chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 is about the three attributes of that physicality. Spirit, soul, and body. That's why when you'll see from Genesis chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you'll see three different stories of three different men that all have three different boys. And every one of those three different boys and all of the descendants in between and the numbers of the years that they live are all about the intricacy that you are. Not one of them is about somebody that was trying to live and walk on the earth 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 thousand years ago. What? So it doesn't matter to me which one you want to pick. I can, you know, we'll just go back there and we'll look at it and see what's talking about. It's talking about the functions of you. This book is about you. From front cover to back cover, it's about you and how that you are so intricately woven as God in the earth. So he says right here, he formed you, made you out of himself, out of the stardust.
He began to breathe into you, and he began to cause you to stand alive and to be the phenomenal creature that you are. And then God did this. He did this. God said that he breathed into your nostrils the breath, the neshama, the breath, and you became a soul. That's the Hebrew word for soul. And these words, you have to pay attention to them, because the numeric value of these numbers is what's really important. And you don't, once you begin to learn these letters and the numeric values and each one what they symbolize as a glyph. These are all glyphs. They're symbols. And they're not symbols to try to form a language. The Torah is not a language. It's not a language. It can't even be pronounced. The only way you can pronounce it is put vowel points in it. A-E-I-O-U-E-U. Seven of them. That's the only, and then you can say, well, now we can make us a word. So when you're trying to do this one, it's not a word. It's a formula. It is a formula. It's not a word. I know we did this. We got... We put vowel sounds in it, Jehovah. And I there's one I get people mad about, and I don't really mean to make them mad. If you can ever understand, that's what it is. All you have to do is follow its attributes. It's not wrong. Now I'm not saying that's wrong because it's egoic. I'm saying that's its attribute. That's its design. There's nothing wrong with its design. That's how we perceive it. And then this last verse, I'm quitting, I promise. That's where he says, you became a living soul. Right here. You became a living soul. And then he says, verse 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight, the tree that's good for food. Let me go. This is just one tree. This is just one tree. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow everything that's pleasant to the sight and good for the food. The tree of life. Everybody say che.
Che.
C-H-A-Y. Che. It's a Hebrew word. Life. That's what everybody, most people, how would you like to eat off this tree of life? If you go over to the book of Revelation, it says it's for the healing of the nations. Che. Che. The tree of life. Also in the midst of the garden was also in the middle. Notice what it says about these. Both these trees is in the middle. In the middle. In the core. In the heart. In the center. And so it's not two trees. It's just one tree. It's one tree that has a root system and it has a branch system. But it's just one tree. And it just depends on how you look at that tree. Because part of that tree you can see and part of that tree you can't see. Because part of that tree is in one world and part of that tree is in another world. It connects you. And so, if I'm doing this tree, and here's what I would do with this tree. Y'all see that? That's my stick man. That's you. That's you. The tree of life. Che. Then, chapter 3, verse 1. That's my last verse. This word, right here, this word, I read Genesis 3, 1. It says, now, the serpent. That's this. Now the serpent. Could I say so? Yeah. What's the difference in those two words? The difference in these two words is this letter and this letter. And this letter is carried to a higher dimension in this word. And it's a lower dimension in this word. All of the single digit letters in the Hebrew alphabet, which are the first nine letters, they're all single digit because those first nine letters, which is the Aleph through the Tet, they are all single, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And all of the next letters, which is the Yod through the Tesada, they are double. They're 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. And then the last letters, including the finals, which is the Kof through the Tov, they're triple. They're three. And so what it is, you take the infinite unknown God, which is the monad, zero, and you bring him into the natural world, into the physical plane. But you bring him into the physical plane with his ability to raise himself back up by the soul into a higher plane, so that he will finally reach the three-letter words, which are the resurrected planes, the awakened planes. Now, I know that's probably all Greek, isn't it? That was all Greek. And the translators translated this word right here, serpent, nachesh. This is the word nachesh, which is not the word for snake in Hebrew. It is not. And I know that all of you were told that this is a snake standing up on his back, because they told you back then he grew legs down at his tail and he could walk. I know they told you that because I told you that 35 years ago. My priest is really good. And he could talk, but his talks was smeared a little. You know, the reason he smeared his words was because he hissed. And the reason he hissed was because of this letter right here in the Hebrew alphabet, called the Shin, because it can't be said without hissing. And what the word has to do with, the serpent, it has to do with your emotions. And here's what he said about the serpent, your emotions. This word is also translated for the word learn by experience. I mean, you'll find that it's just recorded right there in your own Bible. 1 Kings uses this same identical word, serpent, for the word experience. So what happens? It says the serpent was more subtile. That meant that he was very crafty, like my grandmother. My grandmother could take flour sacks and make shirts. I used to wear them. I was a hot dog. She could take a dime and make $10 out of it. She was crafty. This is exactly what God says this aspect of your being is. Why? It's connected to your soul. The serpent was more subtle than any of the... Everybody say Che?
Che.
Now you just remember what we just said about Che? The tree of life. Mm-hmm. The word for tree of life is Che. The word right here for beast is Che. Now why didn't they call this the tree of the beast? What would you have done with that? God said, now I want to take you over to the tree of the beast. Why'd they call it the tree of life? Che, here in Genesis 3, call it the beast. It's the same thing. It's the same identical word, Che, Hebrew Che. Do you know why? Because that connection that God has given you right here, that connection is right here. That soul-ego connection, that's where it's at. It's in your heart. It's not anything wrong with your ego. It's just getting your ego trained where it can hear your soul, where it can hear your divinity, where it can respond to your divinity and thereby make you whole. I quit. Yeah.